What is a disciple? Vines defines a disciple as a learner, one who follows one's teaching, a pupil, an adherent, and I had to look this word up. It is someone who supports a particular party, person, or set of ideas, an imitator of their teacher. Are you a disciple of the Lord this morning? Is it your desire this morning to follow Christ's teachings and to eventually have a home in heaven? Is that your desire? John, the 14th chapter, and the first 6 verses says this: Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Is it your desire this morning to follow Christ's teachings? Is it your desire this morning to worship God? John chapter 4 and verse 24, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Is that your desire this morning? Turn with me close to where we were in John the 13th chapter and verses 14 and 15. Is it my desire this morning to serve God, to serve my Lord? John the 13th chapter and verses 14 and 15 says, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Is it your desire to serve your Lord? And is it your desire today to serve one another? And then the passage that was read just a moment ago from Romans chapter 10. Is it my desire this morning, as I'm a disciple of Christ, to tell other people about Jesus? Blessed are those preachers of peace. Are you one of those preachers that are telling people about Jesus Christ and His Son? I don't know how well I'm going to do this morning on the timing of this lesson. I've timed it a number of times and it didn't go well, I'll just tell you. Because each one of these questions on the board behind me are a lesson in themselves. But do I see myself? Do I see myself with those characteristics or those qualities of being a disciple? As I look at that over there, can I see myself? And this is what we want to do first of all this morning, is we're going to ask ourselves the question, who am I spiritually? Really, who am I spiritually? I want us to take this lesson very, very seriously today. Listen, folks, get on board. Who am I spiritually? There's a passage of Scripture that really scares me. Well, there's quite a few that really scare me. But there's one that really, really gets my attention. And it's in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." We listen to people talk today about eternity, and we would think that everybody is going to heaven. Isn't this is what we hear when we talk to our neighbors and friends and co-workers and fellow students and everybody that we talk with? Everybody's going to heaven. It doesn't matter what we believe, doesn't matter what you practice, doesn't matter where you go to church, we're all going to heaven, we're all have the same destination anyway. You go to a funeral for somebody out in the world and you sit back there and you listen to what is being said and how these folks are all seem to be preached into heaven, no matter what kind of life they live. I want to tell you something. That's not true. We listen to people talk this way. We've got to realize everybody isn't going to heaven. Everyone in this assembly, probably, everybody's souls are going to be saved. They'll say things like, "Doesn't matter what you believe. God's a loving God. God's not going to send me to hell. I'm a good guy. My name is Bill, and I try to worship God, and I try to do good things. God's not going to punish me." We need to look this morning at our souls. And as we go through this lesson, we need to think about our souls very seriously. Is my soul where it needs to be? Am I living my life according to the Scriptures, the way that God wants me to live my life? Now notice what I said. Am I living my life the way that God wants me to live my life? We'll talk more about this in just a little bit. Not the way I want to live my life, but how does God want me to live it? Well, here's a question we need to ask ourselves, and there's going to be a lot of questions we're going to ask this morning. Can I handle the hard sayings of Jesus? Can I handle what Jesus tells me to do in the Scriptures? Can I do that? Can I handle that? Can I do what the Lord wants me to do? Let's look at just a few illustrations. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'd like to begin reading with verse 9. And here's what I want you to be thinking about. Thinking about the hard sayings of Jesus. What does Jesus teach us about sexuality? The world teaches us anything goes. Whatever feels good, whatever your desire is, you go ahead and do it. But you know, as I sit down and I look at the Scriptures, that's not what the Scriptures tells me. Let's look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Okay, very pointed right there, right? Very easy to understand. Now look what he says. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. I'm going to stop right there. What? Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Very plain, very simple. I'm not going to read the rest of that context because of time. But those of you that are taking notes, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 18. Well, what about another one? What about forgiveness? Have you ever heard anybody make this statement? I can never forgive them. I think we've all heard somebody make that statement in the past. What are they actually saying? We turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, and it says, "For if ye forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And there's many passages Scripture will show that if we don't forgive our fellow man, we are not going to be forgiven. Loving our enemies. Loving those people that don't love us. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. And again, I'm not going to read that for the sake of time. But here's another one that I am going to read. And I think it's very important that we do this morning. The hard sayings of Jesus, as he's taught us in the Scriptures, what about marriage? Where do we stand on marriage? I want to read Matthew chapter 19. And you young people, I really want you to listen up right here. Matthew chapter 19, the first six verses. "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came to the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall become what one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." What is marriage? Marriage is between a man and a woman. You able to handle that? We who are disciples, is this what we believe? This is what the Scripture very plainly says. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Let's go to another one. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Do we believe that? John Wilcox and I was talking before services this morning about this very thing, about how plain and how simple this is. Do you believe that you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ in order to be saved? It says so. If you don't do this, he says, what's going to happen to your soul? It's going to be damned. My question this morning, as we look at who I am spiritually, am I able to handle this? Am I able to handle what the Scripture teaches me, no matter what I want to do? Am I willing and able to handle what it says for me to do and to follow? Folks, right here, the two basic principles, two basic things that we all need to have right in order for our spiritual life to be what it needs to be. I need to have my relationship with God right for everything else spiritually to work. I need to be studying God's Word. I need to have that Bible study. I need to have God talking to me. I need to be learning who God is, what God expects from me in this life, and I need to be talking to Him through prayer. Two simple things. We have had lesson and lesson and lesson upon this. Bible study and prayer. Bible study and prayer. And I like Abe as he was waiting on the table this morning, sort of trying to get us to the point to realize maybe some of these basic things we need to stop and think about, that sometimes we just let them pass on by. Now let me ask you right here. What do you do with the lessons that you've heard? What do you do with them? I heard Abe talking about going over old notes from 20 years ago. I found that refreshing myself, that somebody cares enough to take notes and to write down and to rethink some of these things that they've heard. Now let me ask you this. Do you ever remember hearing a lesson on connecting? Just do this, appease me, okay? But here's my question. That lesson I gave three months ago now, what'd you do with it? What did I do with that lesson on connecting? Did I put that in my arsenal? And is it something that I'm working on a regular basis to connect with my brothers and sisters? Let me ask you a question. Do you remember hearing a lesson lately on power? What'd you do with it? You remember hearing a lesson on hope? What'd you do with it? You remember the 2-minute invitation the other night that was so powerful and had so much in it? What'd we do with it? What do we do with these songs that we sing? I asked Fred this morning to lead number 275 again, and we may wear this thing out. I'd never heard that song before until Luke led it last Lord's evening. And then Kevin led it again last Wednesday night. I don't think I'd ever heard it. Maybe I was gone sometime when somebody taught the congregation that song. But we're going to sing that in a little bit. And it's talking about making changes in our life. Down in the chorus of that song, it says, changing you, changing me, and changing you. Now, what are we doing with all these lessons that we've heard? What do we do with them? We ought to be taking these lessons and making changes in our lives. What about lessons on prayer? Have we heard any lessons on prayer lately? Let me ask you, well, what do you do with those? Anything? Each one of us should be taking and looking at our prayer life and talking to God, and can we improve? Can we tweak what we're doing? Can we change what we're doing as we talk to God through prayer? Can I do it in a better way in developing this relationship with my God? What are we doing with it? Are we changing our lives with the things that we hear? But here's the question, number one. Who am I spiritually? Who am I? Am I right in the sight of God right now? Am I who I need to be? Well, let's move to the next point. Is Christ number one in your life? And how many times have we heard this lesson? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, and verses 25 through 27. Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 25, it says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and his mother, and his wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple." Jesus must have absolute priority in our lives. Jesus must come number one in any relationship that we have. He's got to be number one. Is there anyone that can keep you or talk you out of serving God? Is there anyone that can keep you from God? Is there anyone that can keep you from your Christian walk? Is there anyone that can pull you into sin? Is there anyone that can instruct you to do something immoral and you do it? Now, we sing so many songs about giving our all to the Lord. And as we examine ourselves right now, who am I? That's the question I'm asking. Am I really giving my full service to my God? Here's some of the songs we sing. I Surrender All. Sweet Will of God, we just sang that song. Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. Seek Ye First, we just sang that one. None of Self and All of Thee. I Am Mine No More. Now, what's the most important things that we do in this life? Is it referring to our spiritual life, our relationship with God, our relationship with our Lord? Is that number one? Or could it be any of the following on this list? Your spouse. That she come before your God. Your children. Do they come before your God? And this next one, before I give it to you, I don't want you tar and feathering me for putting it on the list. I've preached this lesson elsewhere, and I've had some negative comments. Your pets. Do I put my pets before my Lord? I put this on a list because of Fred. Fred doesn't realize why, but it was about, I think, maybe a year and a half ago. Fred had a lesson talking about how much money in this country we spend on dog food. Do you remember that? You better go back and look at your notes. But anyway, he gave that lesson, and I thought, He talked about how much money we spend on dog food in this country and how much it was more than certain countries' whole budget for the year. And I thought, wow. It really got my attention. I remembered it. But what about our pets? Bill, you're treading on pretty dangerous ground right now. I realize that because I've watched a Christian woman day in and day out It seemed like the thrust of her day was to play with her cats. And I'm just thinking, where should we be spiritually? An elderly lady, this is what she had to do during her day. Is there nothing more important that she could be doing than this? And I have nothing against cats or dogs or anything, but there is a place for them. Let me continue with the list. Do these things come before our Lord? Our cars? Our hobbies? Our jobs? Our house? Our bank accounts? Our sports team? And then I put this on the list. How much playtime should we as Christians have? How much time should we be spending playing? I go back, and we'll talk about, we may not get to it this morning, about the 12 apostles. And how much time do you suppose Peter spent out on the golf course? As I read about these men, and I think about these disciples, these apostles, and I think about their lifestyle, and I think about how they lived it, I can't see them spending a lot of time doing these type of things. And I'm not against recreation. I'm not against pleasure. But the question is this what my life is all about? Is playing? And Josh Redd mentioned some the other night, too, about how we use our time in checking emails and social media and YouTube and watching TV and the Xbox and surfing the web and phone. The point I'm wanting to make right now is if I had to go to court, and I had to prove the case that Jesus Christ is number one in my life, could I prove it? By the number of hours and by the service that I give, could I prove that Jesus Christ is number one in my life? Let's move on. I need to deny myself. This is part of being a disciple. Jesus was the ultimate example in so many ways. When tempted in Matthew chapter 4, he gave up food, authority, glory to do what was right. He gave up heaven to come down and to be born in a stable. How often do I deny self? What is it that I last denied myself of for the cause of Christ? Am I seeking to please myself in this life rather than God? Am I seeking things to please my God? Is my life all about me? I just jotted down some notes about the 12 apostles, 12 disciples. And I just want you to imagine Jesus coming up to somebody like Matthew and says, Matthew, come on, come follow me. And he does that. And what does he do for the rest of his life? He follows Jesus. But looking at these 12 apostles or these 12 disciples, what happened to them? History tells us that only one of them, John, died of a natural cause. Listen to the others. Matthias went into Syria and believed to be burned. James, the son of Zebedee, was executed by Herod. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was beheaded. Andrew went up into Asia Minor and was crucified. Thomas went into Syria and was killed with a spear. Philip went to North Africa, died as a martyr. Matthew went into Persia and was stabbed to death. Bartholomew went into Saudi Arabia and was whipped and died as a martyr. James went into Syria and was stoned and clubbed to death. Simon went into Persia and was martyred. Now, am I denying myself to serve my God? My time is already gone this morning. I will finish this lesson some other time, but there's one other question I want to get and talk about this morning. And that's back here. In case you don't catch your lesson, the rest of the lesson sometime. If you're 8 years old, you're 18 years old, or you're 80 years old, it doesn't matter. I want you to ask this question to yourself. What does God want me to do with my life? You ever thought about it that way? What I want really doesn't matter in this life. But what does God want me to do? Our whole life should be focused around serving our God. Not our selfish desires, not our selfish ambitions, not the playtime, not the things that I want to do. There may be a time and place for some of those things, but our focus, brethren, has to be upon our God. Is He number one in our life? This is a hard lesson. But I think through the years we haven't given it justice. And I feel myself, I've gotten very soft. And I have found myself in life living the life for me. This is what I want to do. I want to be a Steeler fan, and I want to go out in the garage and work in the shop, and I want to go out and tend to my flowers. And all these things are important, and they're okay in its place. But what is my main focus in this life? My Lord needs to be number one in my life. And the question we're going to close with this morning, is He number one in your life? We'll catch the rest of this lesson sometime. But let's very seriously think about our souls. I want to go to heaven. And I want to see you there. And there's one other thing I want to say before I close. We're going to sing this invitation song, and it's talking about changing. It's talking about the ancient words right here. The ancient words that we've been handed down. And changing our lives. I have found it a joy to watch some of you change your life. Andrew, I'm enjoying thoroughly seeing you change your life. We're glad you're with us. Cyrus, the same thing. We're glad that you're here. Glad to see you changing your life from the way of the world. Todd, Claire, Matthew, same thing. We're glad you're in with us. And each one of us should be just like these that I've just mentioned. Our lives should be changing. Even though I've been a member of the church for how many years, my life still should be changing. I still should be taking these lessons that we hear and applying to my life and changing my life to get to where I need to be. this morning, if you're here and you think, I need to change my life, you don't need to come down on this front row. Change your life. But maybe you need to come down here. Maybe you need to support your brother, just like Jason did some time ago. Are you still praying for Jason? You remember Jason? Maybe you don't remember that either. But Jason came and he said, hey, I need help. Things just aren't working with me spiritually. I need help. We need to be praying for Jason, that he'll get where he needs to be. But if you're to that point where there's something in your life you need the brethren here to know about and to pray with you and to support you and to hold you up, come and let that be known. But here's the sweet thing. Do you want to become a disciple? We read in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, where they're no longer called disciples, but they're called Christians. Do you want to become a Christian today? Do you want to start the walk, the Christian walk? Do you want to follow Him? Are you ready to deny yourself, take up His cross, do it daily, and then there's also a cost? Are you ready to do that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? Are you ready to repent? Are you ready to change your life and say, this is the life now that I want? I want to save my soul. I want to save the souls of others. Are you ready to make that great confession and tell men, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? And are you ready to go down into the waters of baptism and have all the sins washed away? If you're subject to the call, won't you come as we stand together and sing?